Hey, everybody. Once again, this episode is brought to you by our friends at High Smile. Hello, High Smile. Like we mentioned in last week's episode, even if High Smile were not our sponsor, we'll tell you right now that their new and improved teeth whitening kit is an absolute must for your wedding day prep.
And also for us, for just every day wanting to have white teeth.
I mean, look at these teeth.
If you don't want to spend hundreds of dollars at the dentist, and who does, to whiten your teeth, then this at-home alternative is perfect for you. No pain, no sensitivity. It's a great addition to some wedding prep. We mentioned that it only takes 10 minutes a day for 5 to 6 days. You can fit that in with wedding planning.
Yeah, of course. It's easy.
And just to sweeten the deal, our friends at High Smile are offering 20% off for all of our listeners for a limited time. So go to highsmileteeth.com and use the discount code BIGWEDDING. This will get you the discount. It also lets them know that you heard about them here on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And if you order by December 18th, which is today, if you're listening on the day we released, then you will have your products delivered by Christmas.
That is amazing. So go to highsmileteeth.com. That's high, like hello, highsmileteeth.com. Order this. Use promo code BIGWEDDING, 20% off, you guys. I cannot tell you enough how much we love this product. My teeth look fabulous. Thank you so much, High Smile.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you so much for listening today, for downloading, for subscribing, for checking us out, for giving us another chance for, being curious, for planning your weddings. We just are so glad you're here.
There's a lot to be grateful and thankful for.
Is that your ring?
Yes.
Ooh.
We haven't talked about
it. No, we hadn't. I hadn't seen it. I have mine stacked up. See how it's the third?
Is that with your wedding ring?
I changed it up. So,
okay.
We both bought these. I think we should call them our friendship rings.
Oh,
that's my first.
They're matching. They're matchers.
Yeah. So we have friendship rings from Noemi.
Noemi.
Our diamond ring. We're in the diamond ring club. We both bought ourselves these petite bands and
white gold.
Yes. And we bought matching bands.
About matching bands. And, you know, this is the first jewelry that I wear that my husband hasn't bought for me.
And I would say this is the first, like, real piece of, I mean, other than my wedding rings, this is the first, like, legit piece of jewelry that I did not get at Nordstrom Rack on clearance.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very specific.
I have, like, a little Tiffany initial necklace that has the boys' initials, but that's...
Yeah.
Did you know. Do
that though? Did you get that? Did you have that done?
I think Lance bought me the J when we had J, and then we both went and got the T when we had Tom.
Oh, so that's
so, yeah.
Tiffany.
So they were nice. It's nice little, but
you know,
it's silver. It's not, it wasn't very expensive.
Well, it's from Tiffany though.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is my Naomi ring. I really like it. And you know what I did is, So y'all listening, I have a princess cut platinum band that was my engagement ring, which I picked out, by the way. And then I have my wedding band is a, what do you call this? A forever, like the diamonds all the way around band.
Eternity?
That I wear together. Eternity. Thank you. Yeah. Eternity, not forever.
Forever, eternity,
that kind of means the same thing, doesn't it?
forever and eternity?
Pot committed.
Pot?
Yeah, like you're pot committed on the ring, the diamonds. That's a terrible way to describe it.
I don't know that.
No one would call a ring that.
Committed to the pot. I thought this Noemi one would go on the other side of the engagement ring, but it's not the same size. And then my husband's like, well, you should just, what if you put your wedding band on the right hand? And I was like, oh, I can't do that. I've always worn it on with my engagement ring, but you know, I've changed it up and I've done that. And you know, my in-laws, they've always worn their wedding bands on their right hand on the ring finger. And I remember asking my mother-in-law many years ago, why do you do that? And she said it's something like Christian, I guess. I don't know. Like that vein goes straight to the heart. I don't know. I think it's just something her and my father-in-law
I've heard
do.
About stuff like that also. We should probably do a little research into the various wedding ring options, old rules, new rules, how people are doing it. Because I moved my diamond ring, my engagement ring, onto my right hand too. Oh. And I've never worn it.
Your engagement ring?
Yeah, the actual engagement ring. And I've never worn it that way, but I wanted to try this little stacker action. But I've heard before about which bands go in which order because one's closer to your heart.
Well, yes, the wedding band goes closer to your heart and then the engagement band on top of that closer to your nail.
Look what we just did. What a great segue. We didn't even do that on purpose.
Oh,
whoa, we're getting so good at this. Our heads are blowing up. Because we've mentioned the word heart. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. We mentioned heart. And that is what today's episode is going to be about. Okay?
That's right.
So buckle up and make sure.
Bring the tissue.
That seatbelt goes right across your heart. Anything else you can add to that?
Chest cavity.
Yeah.
You want to have it.
Just, it's really
appropriately at the right height.
Got a heart.
Breathe
read the what?
Intro our guest.
Wait.
Right now. Do it. No?
I wanted to say sometimes we have wedding planners on and we always say that the three of us, three wedding planners, we could just shoot the shit all day long about wedding planning.
This is
so true. We try to figure out what the key is, what's the angle to what we can offer our listeners that we haven't already talked about as wedding planners, right?
Yeah.
I think we both have been really busy lately. Wedding season is wrapping up for you and me. And when we got this pitch for this topic with this wedding planner, it made sense because the topic is heart-centered wedding planning and what that means, or wedding planning with lots of love and lots of family and keeping that love and that family orientation going throughout the entire process. And for me, at least, it piqued my interest because I thought sometimes I just need in my own life and in my own business to remember to take it back to why we're doing this in the first place.
Mm.
Right. Cause we can kind of spin out, I think. And it's like
could definitely
a giant to-do list. We're both thinking we have a million balls in the air and trying to stay centered and really with our clients.
As can our couples. You've got those giant to-do lists for the wedding and your life.
And here's this big thing that's about to happen that has the power to bring everybody in your life in. It has the power to be this positive, experience for everyone. But a lot of times, and especially now that we're doing the podcast and we hear from all of you listeners about your struggles, we know that it can feel like maybe not such a positive experience. So how do we, bring it back to what it's all about? And that is this love and this commitment that you're about to make. So with that said, I will introduce our guest whose pitch to us was to talk about heart-centered approach to weddings and wedding planning. And welcome to the podcast, Neely Butler. We're so happy to have you and have another Southern lady on. These episodes might not come out back to back, but we're recording them back to back, right, Michelle?
In our minds, they're back to back.
Yeah. So, Neely Butler, the founder and lead planner of Marie Henri, is joining us to chat about bringing a heart-centered approach to weddings, as well as her experience planning exquisite Southern soirees. Marie Ami is a premier full-service wedding planning and design studio in Birmingham, Alabama, serving clients worldwide. Marie Ami has been recognized as one of the nation's premier event planning and design firms by notable media, including Brides Magazine and Southern Weddings Magazine. So welcome, Neely.
Thank you all so much. I'm so excited.
We're excited to have you, and we love basically what you're bringing to the podcast today. So we're excited to hear about, and to tell our listeners, I guess, about how to keep it together.
You know,
don't get crazy. Keep it together. Keep it love-centered, and how you do that as a planner. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your origin story, how you got to where you are, and what the name of your company means also.
So I, kind of just where I am today, really, I feel like is probably where I really came from, is really kind of part of the story. So I am a 3-time cancer survivor. I had trouble in school as a child, with a learning disability, and for, you know, just not to bore you to death, but I had a pretty hard upbringing through health and just through hardships. And when I, in 2009, I had, you know, been in a career of event planning for corporate world and was just really ready to do my own thing. And so in 2009, in the recession, I literally, with the last dollar I had to my name, I decided to start my own business and start doing wedding planning. And Marie Ami is the name of my business, and it means bride's friend in French. And I honestly set out to just work hard, serve people, and love them with all of my heart. And I just feel like, you know, my life struggles just gave me the empathy for other people, because you never know what other people are going through. Or what their story is. And so I found myself just wanting to serve them and in an event planning way, in a wedding way. And so it became this full service wedding planning company, meaning there's literally nothing during the planning process that we won't do for our clients. And we really and truly treat them like our very best friends. And, you know, that relationship and understanding their story and what's important to them and what is truly what are they looking for in their wedding, and then just making it happen for them is what our business is based on. Just that friendship and that love, and it's just a great place to be in. So
Marie Ami in French is bride's friend. That's interesting. And I mean, you said this pretty quickly, but that you had a difficult time growing up, and you're a 3-time cancer survivor.
I am.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. So I was 18 years old, my freshman year of college. I was diagnosed with sarcoma, which is a really rare form of cancer. And they were able to remove all the cancer from my hip socket, which is where it was. And then they were hopeful that it would never come back again. And then 1 year to the day, they were multiple tumors all in my leg again. And this cancer is very aggressive, and it attacks your limb, and then it attacks your organs, and it doesn't have a very high survival rate. And so the second battle was a lot tougher than the first. And there were staph infections involved, and just a real long year battle of me fighting for my life, and very moments of near-death experiences, and I made it through that year, and then I had a year off where they thought, you know, you're healthy, you're never going to get it again, and I got to really participate in college, you know, more than I had been just because I'd been so sick, and then my senior year, it came back again. So I just had to battle that 3 times, and
so, you know, 18, 19, 21.
Yeah, 21.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I just feel like, you know, I kind of had to grow up fast, and, you know, and so people were so supportive and loving, and, you know, you just, you realize that people have got a lot going on in their life. And there's always more to what's going on than what you really know. And so I feel like when you're dealing with weddings and you're planning weddings, you know, there's always more to their story than just them planning their wedding. You know, where they come from, what struggles do they have, what family dynamics give them anxiety. There's just more to people that I feel like if you can allow yourself to get to know them, that you can serve them better.
So how is pulling more of that or finding out more from the couples that you're working with? How, I mean, I think it's like a fast moving world, right? And everyone's like, if they can't do it on their phone or on an app, then maybe it's just something that doesn't get done. Like, we need it to be easy and quick and in these small tidbits, like little fill this out and turn it in, and then we'll get started. So how have you found that you're finding out more about these people than just like what a email back template would provide, or like fill out this information and send it back to me kind of thing?
Right. So, you know, my business is maybe call me inefficient, but I don't have one template email in our entire company. And, you know, a client comes in and all of our business really is from referral, which I think, you know, is a start of a relationship. That means someone has already worked with us and already gotten to know us and then referred us. So I feel like that already kind of gives you a, you know, a leg up, because they're wanting the new clients walking in wanting to get to know you. And we want to get to know them. And so we always have that first in-person meeting. It has to be in person. And, you know, we just talk about what they want and what are they looking for and what's their budget, and, you know, really just trying to hear big picture of what's important to them. And then it's just a matter of working really hard for them. And I feel like the relationship, it doesn't all, it's not that I'm sitting down and sending, giving them a survey to fill out, tell me all of your deepest, darkest secrets and, you know, your favorite color. It's really just more of a ongoing process of connecting with someone. And then we talk on the phone as much as we can. We meet as much as we can. Whenever we can be face-to-face or on the site visit together, we just definitely do that. But it's also just kind of asking them, how was your day today? You know, if it's a med student, she's probably, you know, taken some hard test and remembering that she took that hard test, and asking her the next time you talk, how was that test? How's your dog? You know, and just like becoming friends. Is the way we do it. And it's really by the time the wedding is all said and done, they see us as a friend and we see them as a friend. And it's just this great relationship of respect, and they know I'll do anything for them and they'll do anything for me. And it just makes, it's not just enjoyable for them, it's enjoyable for me, because it makes working hard for them even more beneficial and
fulfilling.
Like, yeah.
Is it, when you say they, is it bride and groom or the couple, or is it parents?
It's the couple.
Anybody who shows up?
So Southern weddings, you know, you definitely still have mama very, very, very involved. And so it's really, you're planning it with the family. I talk to fathers of the bride all the time, or the couple, if their couple's hosting the wedding themselves, they still seem to involve their parents. And so, you know, it's really kind of, sometimes in our office we'll have, you know, a family of five in the meeting. You may have grandmother. And so you just get to know all of them. But primarily it's the couple and whether, you know, and whoever's hosting the wedding that we get to know the best.
Neely, when you first started your business, was it always this way? Was this always your goal? Like, I want to really connect and be a part of this family, these people's lives, and just like really pay that this much attention to them?
Not really, I'll be honest. I touched when I, in my opening, you know, I had a learning disability as a child, severe learning disability. And so I had my fifth grade teacher told me I would have never amount to anything, and that college would be a waste of time. And
what was your learning disability?
Reading and writing.
Okay.
I was, you know, very smart in other ways, but I just couldn't comprehend. The reading and writing just didn't click. And so, you know, and then I got married right out of college, and long story short, I got divorced. There's just like things just like weren't easy. Nothing was easy. And yeah. I just feel like the only thing that's was very easy for me and natural for me is to love people the way I want to be loved and the way that I want to be served. Mm. I can do that because all that takes is a heart and two hands. And I happen to be really good at organizing things, and I'm very outgoing. And so honestly, event planning just seemed like a career that I could do because I was told I wasn't going to be able to be a doctor. I'm not going to be able to be a lawyer. I'm not going to be a banker because I'm not smart enough, according to this fifth grade teacher. So I never like set out to make it. It just was like, okay, I'm going to start this business. I'm at rock bottom. I'm 26 years old. And what in the world am I going to do with my life? Well, I can love people and I can serve people. And it's shown that I'm pretty good at planning parties. And it just kind of evolved.
Yeah.
You know, so
So there's more heart in weddings than like corporate events. Not that that doesn't take like some, you know, you got to have some compassion, but like, no. You knew if I'm going to be planning events and I'm pretty good at that, I'd rather be doing these highly important, right. Emotional, personal events.
Well, I was planning these great corporate events. And I knew I was good at that. But like you said, the corporate clients, they care if you have a good bar and a, you know, if everybody shows up. Mm. The weddings, what I immediately fell in love with was just the emotional side of it and connecting with the people. And I am a people pleaser and I love the affirmation you get from, you know, the client being so happy and think that, you know, I could not have done this without you is what drives me. And so every Monday morning I get up and start completely over on someone else's wedding. Because I've gotten that note from dad or I've gotten the call from the mother that's like, you are part of our family. Your team is amazing. What you've built is amazing. We could have never done this without you. You will literally be a part of our family for the rest of our life. That is why I do it again. So it just makes it, it just keeps going.
I have to tell you, I just, like while we've been talking, I got a text message from two grooms I worked with that we, Michelle, Andrew, and Roger that we had on.
Yes.
They just, this wedding was months ago, many months ago, and they were in touch and we're friends and I love them both, but they, I emailed them earlier today because they got this little feature in Men's Vows.
Mm-hmm.
We also had them on. And, they had to write a lot. They had the men's, like this feature sent them like a pretty big detailed questionnaire about like how you got engaged and how you met and blah, blah, their whole story. And so it took them some time. I kept asking like, hey, have you guys finished that thing that you need to, there's a deadline. And they were like, we're trying, but it's taken a lot out of us. Like we really need to sit down and really do this. They put a lot into their answers because they were essentially like reliving and rethinking about this wedding day. And they finally finished it and it's up. So I sent it to them today and they texted me that one of them was like, I'm crying at work while I read this. And then they just got home and he said, anytime I see pictures from our wedding, I tear up. And when we were writing the information for Men's Vows, so many emotions came up and were felt. It's a wonderful reminder of how lucky we are to have one another and how lucky we were to have your help to make that special day so unforgettable.
Right.
And it's like, it's a text message that probably took him 30 seconds, but it will fuel me
forever.
Yeah. When I have maybe a client who I feel like we're just not clicking or something's missing or why does it feel like this? I'll be able to remember and look back. I mean, we just need a little bit, right?
Yeah.
To like propel us into the next one.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all as wedding planners, those chasers of that emotion, right? Because, and when I used to work in the hotel industry in, you know, sales and marketing, you were either on the corporate side or you were on the social side, and the people on the corporate side would always, and I did both. I can do both, but I always preferred Smurf. I always preferred social side, and corporate people would be like, you're crazy. Those weddings are crazy. Oh, and I'd be like, no, I love them. It takes a very specific type of person. People pleasers. Interesting, Neely, that you said that. I've been told that about myself. So we're all
but
all that way.
Yes. I do wonder though, when you were talking about like how you are friends with we talk as much as possible. You can call me anytime. Any chance we have to meet face to face, you're gonna take because you want to be in the room with them. I thought like
there was a great housewife once said, mm-hmm. and I know who she is, but I don't want to Real Housewives geek out here, but she said, my love tank is empty. And she needed her love tank to be filled up. She was talking about her marriage, but it made me think of that's a lot of output for you.
Yes.
And you're taking on a lot of people's, we're kind of like mirrors. Like we have to reflect back a lot of people's emotions. Mm-hmm. So some planners, I think I don't do this because I haven't needed to, but I feel like I would, might limit the amount of like open communication between themselves. And just because you're like, I actually have nothing left to give.
Right.
I'm a person too. And, right. and taking, you know, six couples, maybe at one time of the year. And like, as you were talking was like, how do you do it? How do you make sure you're okay enough to keep being like, it sounds like you just have an open heart the whole time, all the time. And that has to be exhausting.
Yes. So I have built over the years, over the 10 years I've been doing this, I've built a team. There's 8 of us. And the team that I have been with me for years and years now. And it's kind of like, I am a big believer in you can't love somebody else until you love yourself.
Mm.
And yes. I love myself enough to take care of my team. And then in return, my team has learned the culture of Maria and me. And this is, we love this client. We serve this client, whatever they need. It, obviously in a professional level, we keep things very professional, but at the same time, you know, they're now implementing this whole Maria and me, they're the bride's friend. So there's 7 people in front of me or on either side of me. And so I'm not having to carry all of the love every day.
Yeah. Anymore,
which has been a building thing. So when a client when a client walks in the door, I'm now in a position to say, you're hiring Maria and me. And our reputation, thankfully, shows all 8 of us are going to love you wholeheartedly and plan the most amazing wedding, and our reputation allows them to be comfortable with that. But when you bring on a new planner in the office, it takes a minute. She's mm-hmm. new to the bunch. And I think for a minute, the clients are like, well, am I going to get the same like support and consistency and professionalism and knowledge that I'm going to get from this newer planner than I would have gotten from Neely? And so I have just spent the time with each person grooming them into what it is. And then they become the person that answers the phone every day to that client. So every client at Maria and Me is assigned 1 lead planner. And that's the person that they literally can call at any waking moment. They can always obviously call me, but that way it's kind of the company is layered.
One person takes on more than they can.
So like, I mean, you can't, just like when you have 1 million children at home, you can't love them all. You can't be everything to everyone at all the time. And so I did set out, the one thing I did do that I knew I was going to do is set out and build a wide company rather than a 1-man show. And so Maria Me is not Neely Butler.
Yeah.
Neely Butler started Maria Me, and my life experiences have created the culture of Maria Me. But I now spend the time loving and managing my people that then go and deliver my culture and take care of my clients.
We've talked about that before, the one person business or the namesake business versus what you're describing. And earlier you said you don't have any template emails, right? But you certainly must have systems in place. And, yeah. and ways of doing things that all of your planners adapt and incorporate, right?
Right. So there's a lot of training. Like I said, when you bring somebody on, I spend a whole lot of time training them on how I want it done. But my management and my leadership skills you'll catch me saying, I want you to answer this phone call or solve this problem this way. More than you're going to find me saying, I want you to book a band, step 1, 2, 3. I don't care how you book the band. Mm-hmm. Just book the band.
Mm.
So you're going to find me being more hands-on and, okay, this mother is upset about this. She's mad at her daughter because of A, B, and C. This is how I would handle this situation. And so I'm coaching how you serve a person on a human level.
Yeah.
More than I am micromanaging a wedding planning task list. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And Neely, you mentioned bride a lot, mm-hmm. and I know you're in the South. Yeah. Are you doing any same-sex weddings?
We are.
Okay. All right.
We are. And, you know, I think we don't get to see it as much as we would like in the South,
yeah.
but we definitely have our fair share and working on right now. And it's the same way. I mean, whoever it is.
Of course.
Two brides, whichever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just am curious because, you know, it's something that we talk a lot about on the show. And I think also the longer you've been in the business, the more we have and the habit, let's say, to be saying bride, 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 bride. And it's definitely changing, and which is a lovely thing. But
and even when we have same sex, we usually have a leader of the couple. You know, it's kind mm-hmm. of like,
oh, so one decision maker, right? The one who's
decision maker, and so, and you know, sometimes they refer to themselves as a bride because they're the, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, it's usually a real strong connection with the leader, but you know, at the same time, you've got a very strong opinion groom and bride. You may have a strong opinion couple, bride and bride, groom
right.
and groom, and we just try and relate and connect to whoever is in our office the most and calling with us and all those kinds of things.
Awesome.
It struck me when you said that your lead planner is their person. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like you're not assigned, but like yeah. you've hired us. This is who fits with you, is available. Mm-hmm. We think would be best for whatever reason. And I think that probably brings comfort and a level like confidence that like, okay, they've all been trained and vetted and she wouldn't let them, you know, out on their own unless they were ready. There's a right. confidence there. But I think it's important for all of our listeners. You can ask those questions when you hire from a DJ company or from a photography company that might have a couple associate photographers. We've said before, like, make sure you know who you're going to be talking to throughout the process, but then also who is going to show up on the wedding day. Because if you're talking to Jill the entire time, and then
you don't want Amy to come,
right? Or you're introduced, and it can be a little bit like, "Whoa, I was expecting the person that I've been in contact right. with." Like, I'm the type of person when I call, like even today, I had to call my insurance company to get some referrals to make sure they were in network. Blah blah blah. So I'm talking to a person who is sitting in an office probably with 75 other like. What are they? Patient advocates, right? From my insurance company. But I'm the type of person, like, she was very helpful. So I was like, what's your name? What's mm-hmm. your direct line? What's yeah, your direct can you email? Person. Can you be my person? I want you to be my person, health advocate. And she was like, well, any of us can help you. We can all pull up the notes. And I was like, no, I want to call you. And I think that's like an old school.
Yeah, you can't do that a lot anymore.
Yeah, you can't do that a lot. My husband makes fun of me because he's like, sometimes they're in a call center in India and you literally cannot call just them. And I'm like, but I want to. That yeah. person was very helpful and now they understand me. And there's a psychology to that. Like,
oh,
I shared with them, I shared my struggles about IT or finding this right doctor and how I'm really concerned about it. And I shared that with them and we spent an hour on the fucking phone. I want that person back. We connect with people.
But I think that that's where the trust, because in a bride's friend, and that's the relationship is so, so, so important to me. That's why I give them a person. And that they're also talking to me all the time, but they have multiple layers. So in case their person, you know, they always have me.
Yeah.
And then the other person. And so it's a little bit, it's like layers of friends. Then we have in-house graphic designers. Well, then they get to know the graphic designer from all the papers. So it's just this layer of friends surrounding this couple, you know, and then by the time it comes wedding day, their person will be there and I will be there and they will, you know, they will be in our office and they'll get to meet them. But it's just, we want them to feel nothing but ease on their way.
Kind of envelop them.
Yeah.
So-
We should say that this type of wedding planning service that you are providing as a company isn't really the norm. You don't find a lot of that everywhere.
I guess.
What's that?
I guess not.
No, you don't. You don't. And so while I love this concept and while I personally try to adapt that myself, you know, like I know my clients, I'm inserted into that family. I know the dog's name. The dog knows me when I come over, you know, sometimes I know mom and dad, sometimes I don't, but I really always want, you know, like that's always my intention. And I think that wedding planners out there, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, Neely, but a lot of this is driven, the level of service you can give is driven on the pricing that you're charging for your service. Right. Because if I'm, you know, someone who's doing 30 weddings a year, or let's say even by myself, 10 is like crazy pants. Mm-hmm. If I'm one of those planners out there charging a little bit of money and getting a ton of weddings, there is no way in hell that wedding planner is going to be able to give this level of service. Not even close to this level of service, right? And so going back to when I asked you when you first started the business, is if this was, you know, what you did from the get-go. Or did it evolve this way because of, you know, as time went on? And of course, obviously your own experiences in life, but then just kind of navigating through with your couples, realizing like, this is the kind of service that I want to give.
So I think the level of service, and I don't want anyone to feel any stress. And so, you know, you hear of planners offering different levels of service, like month of and partial and full and all these things. And when I first started the business, I of course started it that way too, just like everyone. Mm-hmm. And what I realized in the partial planning and a month of service, while their wedding went great, the client was stressed out during her planning process. And at some point on the wedding day, she didn't trust me to handle the situation or know that I truly had her best interest at heart because we had not gotten to know each other enough. And I realized that a full service, all in, unlimited, whatever it takes, fulfills me.
And yeah, your wheelhouse.
You know, it's my wheelhouse. What yeah. I love. And I love them. I love hearing the feedback of, I was not stressed out at any point during the process because I had the Mariami team behind me. And so, you know, I think I want to give that service every single solitary time, and you can't do it as a one man show. And so that is that choice of building this as a company versus a one man has enabled me to be able to give that service every time and every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's, man, I could talk about this forever from the perspective of a professional to another professional, but obviously, a lot of our listeners, the majority of our listeners are people out there getting married. And a lot of you listening cannot afford a wedding planner, period, at all. And we realize that. And I think though that the lesson or the message coming through here is, even if you don't have a wedding planner, just like approach everything through, or even when you're working with your vendor team, like they should treat you a certain way and you should treat them a certain way. And if you're not feeling some sort of connection, it doesn't have to be love. You know, I'm not in love with my, you know, invitation
lighting designer.
Provider, lighting designer, but you know, there needs to be connection.
That's also, you know, if you don't have a wedding planner, you know, remember these vendors, like, hire someone based on your style, personality, and budget. If you mesh, you mesh. Trust them. You're hiring someone, hopefully, that's a really, you know, well known for their trade, and then treat them with kindness and respect, and they too will treat you with kindness and respect. And it's just a full circle of people helping and loving and serving each other. And I find, even take the planner out of the equation, that's just normal, like, human skills. And I have just found kindness can take you so far. Mm. And, you know, whether it be you know, a couple that, like you said, doesn't have a planner, or even if you do have a planner, know that that florist is coming to your wedding to, you know, do the best work she can do. But just things are going to happen, and mess ups are going to happen. And, you know, handling that with grace and dignity too, you know, just, I feel like kindness really could make this entire process. This is more enjoyable for you as the couple.
Yeah. Lead with that and also fall back on that when things get a little crunchy or.
Yeah. Cause they will.
Tempers, something flares, or like you said, goes wrong. We often say that nothing is perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect wedding. And you know, perception is reality. Right. Several big things can go wrong on a wedding day. But if the couple is having a great time, surrounded by people they love, the glass is half full, then at the end of it all, the text to the planner is, thank you for this amazing day. We could not have asked for more. They're not thinking, you know, it really sucked that the table legs were showing on the escort card table because we didn't get the right size linen delivered and that ruined our day. Your perception of your wedding day is going to be as important as the experience of the wedding day. Because that's what you have afterwards, the photos, and maybe you have a video if you hired a videographer. So I hope all my clients look back through their photos like Andrew and Roger just did, you know, from a wedding 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 16 years ago, look at the photos and say, oh, what a day that was. Like, how lucky were we to have all of those people working on our behalf for that day?
And I always tell couples too, if this isn't fun or you're not enjoying this, then something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And let's stop for a second and let's, you know, and you can get that way as a couple and you don't mean to. But like when I notice we're having arguments between the two of them, you know, there's something else.
Or there's any of that like, okay, well, no, I'm fine. If that's what you think, then that's fine.
Right. I thought this was my wedding you know, sorry, it's just your wedding.
So if you hear that, you would like pump the brakes on a meeting.
Like, time out. Let's figure out like, hey, let's talk through this. Like, let's figure out, let's just take a breather and come back to it. Just because I feel like, you know, you hear all these, oh, wedding planning is so stressful and it's awful. And my mother and I fought the whole time. And, you know, my boyfriend or my girlfriend, we never fought until this point. And you hear all that and you're like, hold on, y'all have chosen to get married and this should be fun. And so I feel like if you can kind of bring it back to the root of what we're doing here.
What do you find is usually the problem when you have to get to that point where you're stopped? Cause like, for example, I'm just in my head, I'm thinking about this couple I worked with and the floor plan became this thing.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even that big of a thing. It was just like, here's what the option we think is going to work best, you know, like, cause of the space with size requirements. And then it was like, here's what you really want, but here's probably what's going to work best. And it was like, all of a sudden it opened up these floodgates and there was serious. It didn't make sense to me. This heartache that came from this suggestion of this is so important and we need to, and I thought to myself, what's really going on here?
It's not really about the floor plan.
No, it's about either insecurity or some sort of family, you know, there's sometimes there's a family dynamic, whether they're getting it from mom or they're getting it from dad or they're hearing from it from their, you know, their fiance. And it's like an issue. It's not ever about the floor plan.
No,
you know,
just like,
control, like the fear of giving up control, I have found is one of the hardest things
for humans. Yes.
And I mean, I'm a control freak. I'm a wedding planner. So I get it. I totally get it. But I feel like that you've got to kind of help. You've got to have the trust there. And once they trust you, it's almost like they're easier to, they let go of the reins a little bit. And they're still involved and all that. But I feel like there's always, I always say it's the color taupe. Well, that taupe doesn't have enough brown. Maybe it doesn't have enough gray. And we debate the color taupe for 6 weeks. And I'm like, it's not about the color taupe. Why are we like, what else is it? You know?
Yeah. So, some people, going on.
Some people put their foot down. It's like a straw that broke the camel's back. Like, I've acquiesced on this. I've given you this. I've let you do this. I've compromised. But the floor plan, no, sir. I am not compromising on that. And they put their foot down. And we, since we don't know the backstory or maybe why this is the one thing, it can be like confounding. Like, Michelle, you were like, what's really going on here? But I think that sometimes I don't have the time or the luxury of time to actually say to them what's really going on here. Sometimes I jump straight to the, we need a decision and let's just decide and go, rather than maybe asking a few more questions to find out if the solution is there and we're just not getting to it in a way that makes them feel like they still have control or that feels comfortable for everybody involved. That's tricky balance sometimes.
I feel like I see that a lot too on like seating charts, because you know, you certainly have a deadline on when you can get your seating chart in for the wedding, and it's the last thing you do and it's stressful. And then in today's world, you've got divorced parents and you've got some parents that speak and don't, and it's this, well, the due date, you know, the deadline was Friday, and they say, can I please just have, you know, one, can I have the weekend? And where, you know, the other vendors that don't have the empathy for the client are like, no, the deadline's the deadline. If you don't have it to me by 5 o'clock, we will not get it to print. And the approach that I usually say is, yeah, but this is a couple coming from two divorced families, and she's hearing it from her mom and she's hearing it from her dad, and she can't make anyone happy. And if she could just have till Sunday, so be it. We'll pay a $75 rush fee, but give the couple a break.
Yeah. She's going back to her childhood right now. There are things coming out.
Yeah. And it's not her fault.
Yeah. You know? No, absolutely.
And so just, and if you have the power, if you have the power to give her some grace, or like, listen, just, the answer is yes. Give her the benefit of the doubt.
Just give her till Sunday. And yes, I promise you, hey, listen, you've got to have it to me by Sunday. And if you need me to come talk to your mom over the weekend and talk her off the ledge, I will. But we've got to have it by Sunday.
On that note, about now that digging into moms and just family dynamics, we do get a lot of questions. I would say at least half of our questions, all of them in that half are about family. What do I do? They're paying, but now they're inviting 100 extra people and we're fighting, and parents and siblings and steps and halves and divorces and all of that. So tell us, I was hoping for actual, like, from your perspective, working with big Southern families where this is a lot of people are involved. That's not always the case with Michelle and I when we're planning our weddings, although sometimes it is, but if that's like more common for you, what are some great, positive, tangible ways that you, during the planning process, can involve your family?
Right.
If they want to be involved, like, are there like ways you can kind of delegate some decisions? Or, and then the second part of that question is ways that people can then honor their families in cool new ways or traditional ways on the wedding day. So the two-part familial involvement, how do you navigate that?
Yes, Southern weddings are huge, and the wedding parties are big, and the families are big, everything's big. And so I always say, you know, people just want to be involved. They want to be helpful and they want to be involved. And if you don't allow them to help in some capacity, then it's almost like they're going to feel shunned.
Or be unhelpful in what they choose to do.
Yes. And they'll actually make things harder for you. So if you have a stepmom, dad's paying for the wedding, and you have a stepmom, but you also have a mother who's planning it, we got to involve the stepmom some way, shape, or form, because she's the one sitting across the table of your father who's paying for the wedding. And you're crazy if you don't think she has his ear. Mm-hmm. And she might not have been your stepmom for a couple years, you know, and we've got to give her some sort of job. Maybe it's, hey, can you help me plan my bridesmaids' luncheon? Can you help me
tie all these ribbons on the invitation?
Can you be in charge of the hotel gift boxes?
Ooh, that's a good one to delegate.
Yeah, they love it. It's creative. Can you organize some sort of lunch for our wedding party for the day of the wedding, while we're all getting ready.
Something that's like a project multiple steps.
Yes, it causes it causes days of planning and thinking, because it keeps them occupied, and it's a true need for you, and you'll be so thankful that that person helped with it, that then it will, everybody will feel fulfilled. They were helpful.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. So get people involved. And I really see that a lot with, like, you know, both sides, like the couples, both sides of their family, include them both. One may be paying for it, or maybe it's both, or maybe it's neither, but include both families in some way, shape, or form so that one family doesn't feel like, oh, well, I'm just a random guest at my own child's wedding. You know,
and that's maybe particularly true for mothers of the groom, if we're talking about a like bridegroom, more traditional setup, or the person that's less involved, like you said, if your mom lives in London and she's flying all the way over, it feels kind of like distant from the whole thing. That's not a great footing to get your marriage started. You're marrying the whole family, you know,
right?
And you have to remember that.
I do think a lot of it is just communication. I find that there's a lot of hurt feelings. You know, you come down to the wedding week and you start meeting different sides of the family that I haven't worked with. And you start hearing of hurt feelings. And honestly, it comes from, well, I didn't know anything about anything. No one has sent me a timeline. No one told me what time to be ready for pictures. You know, and it's kind of like the couples really just, if they could take responsibility on making sure they filter the information in a good, nice, even way. Send out a family-wide email. Send out, hey, everybody, here's the timeline. This is our plans for the wedding. You know, this is the date. You don't have to ask for opinions. But if you can communicate all along the way, maybe just kind of set little reminders every couple of months, this is what's going on with the wedding. We're super excited that you're going to be involved and what to expect, just so that they're not feeling like they're left in the dark. I have found just communication can mend the biggest gaps.
A family timeline is great advice. And we've not actually touched on that before. We talk a lot about the wedding day timeline or the wedding weekend timeline. We talk about the planning timeline, which is what we follow. But a timeline for the family in that like 2 or 3 days, we're picking up the dress or we're going here, we're having this luncheon. I would love for you all to be there at 10 a.m. to help me put flowers to get, you know, whatever happens in those 3 days for your VIPs and your family. Right. Like, it's not the detailed timeline that you say exactly when the lighting company and the DJ is setting up. Not that one, but more of the like.
It's the ones of like your spouse's siblings' children. Like, I feel like it's the two generations removed that start getting real antsy and irritated because they don't know, well, what time are my children supposed to be there? Wait, my children aren't invited to the rehearsal dinner? Well, what am I supposed to do with them? I'm in a random city. Do I have a babysitter? Are they supposed to wear shoes as a flower girl? Are they supposed to go barefooted? Like, there's just all those tiny little details that insecurity is the one area, I think, of a human that makes you, you're so anxious and you're insecure that if you can help eliminate some of the insecurities and anxieties, people are usually more fun to be around.
And yeah, so I think that's a big takeaway, what you said. I've heard that before, and I'll hear it like at the rehearsal from somebody who's just not very happy, whether it's a step parent or an aunt, a grandmother, someone. Well, I just didn't even know anything that's going on. I didn't know what time I was supposed to blah, blah, blah. I have no idea what's going on tomorrow. And, you know, it's advice that I try to tell my clients, especially younger couples who do everything themselves. They don't need anybody's help. They don't want anybody's help. We're working with our wedding planner. We're doing it this way. That's it. And those that want to participate but don't get to, it's like create a little quick timeline. I'll create it for you. That's fine. But you send it to grandma. You send it to your aunt. So that way she feels like you're communicating with her, and it's going to make her feel included.
Which cuts off some potentially negative energy that might be brought to your rehearsal dinner unbeknownst to you.
And you don't need that.
No.
You're like, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. But she has feelings, or he has feelings, period. And people's feelings are not right or wrong. They might be wrong in your eyes, but they're right in their eyes. And so, and that's why some clients would be like, can you just send it to my family? And I really strongly suggest it comes from you.
It does.
Because, they're just going to think you're throwing it off on your assistant or whatever, and you're not really, connecting with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about on the wedding day? Tell us a little bit about how, generations. So, grandparents and kids, great grandparents might be involved on a wedding day, and how we can work with couples to expand the outreach for families on the wedding day.
I think the biggest thing is photos. Sometimes you have the couples that are like, I don't want all these photos. Why do I have to get dressed so early in the day? And then there's they decide, well, I don't want a picture with grandma. I don't care. But then you get up to it and grandma's sitting right there and you've told her to come to family photos and she doesn't get a single, picture. So I just feel like the photos is the part that I think affects the extended family the most. So just again, communicating, including, it takes 2 seconds to take a quick photo with grandma. I always say, let's be more inclusive than exclusive. But at the same time, I also love to run a tight wedding timeline.
Right.
We don't need a picture of everybody. But let's just make sure we're clear. If we invite them to stay for photos or we tell them they have to stay for photos, then.
Or if you say something blanket, all family.
Right.
Stay, that means your cousin's spouse, because if they stayed, they're family.
Right. Exactly. And I always tell couples, if you don't want to do that, or if everybody's just do a one big group family photo, you're not going to frame it, but you got it. You did it. They felt part of it, and move on. But those family photos can get really out of control. The other way is when you do the seating charts for the seated dinners, don't put them in the corner in the back, maybe bring them a little closer. They just want to be a part, and it's their chance to say, this is my niece getting married.
They want to feel
important.
More special than the average regular guest.
Exactly. They do. They do.
And that's that feeling, like Michelle said, is valid to them. And Lord knows we've all heard in our own families probably years after the wedding, we didn't even get to XYZ. And it's really? You still remember that about my wedding? That was your big takeaway? Well, I have a friend actually who I adore. She was at my wedding. She is very important to me. 10 years later, still very important to me. And I had put together a slideshow. I did it myself back when people were showing slideshows at their reception, all the time. But it was just pictures to music. And I was really good about including basically everyone that was there. We only had 70 guests, so I had pretty much a picture for everyone. Well, this woman is one of my closest friends. And I was pregnant at the time, and my venue had gotten closed 3 weeks before my wedding. I was under an immense amount of emotion. My hormones were all over the place. It's a miracle we even had a wedding. But 2 days afterwards, my very close friend expressed to another friend how devastated she was that the slideshow did not have any pictures of her.
Gosh.
Oh,
and I remember first being the feeling of defensiveness rushed over me. Really? That's what she's mad about? I'm fucking pregnant. I just planned my own wedding. It was a short timeline. I have no money, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, about 10 minutes after that, because I remember I was in the car, my husband and I were driving to our little tiny mini moon 2 hours out of San Francisco. And it was about 10 minutes later where I really thought my friend's feelings are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
They're hurt. And it's because of something that I did. It was a total mind fart slight. I would always intended for her to have been in this stupid slideshow, but no matter how stupid or minor I think it is, she's hurt. And I am the one that I need to apologize. Mm-hmm. And I need to recognize that is her feeling of this, even though XYZ, everything else.
Yeah.
And my husband was like, you don't have to apologize for anything. And I was like, no, I do, because I love her. I love her. And I am sorry that she's hurt. And I had to like get there. It didn't take me long, but we can get stuck in that first wave of like, really? That's what you're pissed about, Aunt Sally? I'm sorry, okay? But like, if you care about these people that are there and they care about you, then it does come from a place of love. I think both them being hurt and your reaction to it or validation of it.
And again, this is just the start of the rest of your life.
This is just that.
So it's like, you know, apologizing to your friend or including or whatever is usually a lot easier to do than to draw a line. The drama that it will bring is not worth it.
Agreed. I feel, did we skip anything? Is there anything else that we need to add in here?
Well, do you have any final thoughts? I always feel like that's like a segment at the end of a show.
Final thoughts.
But do you have any wisdom or, you know, insight that you can provide that we haven't already touched on that you thought, you know, think is important for our listeners to know?
You know, I always tell clients, decide what you want as a couple in your wedding and plan a wedding that's important to you within the means that you have to plan a wedding, because there's so much emotion and there's so much stress, and then you add finances on top of it. It can suck the fun out of it. And then we forget what we're really doing, because it is supposed to be fun and you're supposed to be, you know, enjoy the process. And so just planning a wedding that's important to you, not to maybe what your friends think or what your parents think, really knowing what you want and kind of going after that is always my piece of advice.
So stay true to yourself and don't put $100,000 on a credit card.
No. At the end of the day, you're going to be married, you know?
And that debt's going to follow you.
Yeah. And I've met couples that, you know, when they're paying for it themselves and, you know, they spend not even a tenth of a fraction of some of our other budgets, and they're still, it's the greatest day of their life. And they're so happy that, you know, just, I think that's what it's all about.
And going past the wedding day, we said it's just the beginning of the rest of your life, but how do you, well, with your business and just where the way you stay in touch with people, like post wedding, we struggle with that a little bit because this is a wedding planning podcast and we want people to not stop listening to us after they, so what's in the works for you or how you can bring the wedding planning love and connection you have with these people past that.
Funny you say, we actually launched a lifestyle brand today. So it has been quite
today.
Yes.
today, the day we record. Yes. What is that lifestyle brand?
It's AmiAV, which is Friend for Life. And we now have these friends for life after we've been through this emotional time in their life together and this relationship has been formed over 10 years. We have all these families all over the world that are still Marie Ami, and they call us when they have babies. They call us when they lose a parent. They call us when they lose a job or they get a promotion. They ask for advice. They always resort back to how we handled certain situations. And so I don't want to lose the touch with them. And so, you know, having a place that we can, and a platform that we can empower people and be a resource for them for the next phases of life is kind of my next goal. And we've started off with product and we're doing home entertaining stuff. So
there are a lot of parties after the wedding.
Yeah.
Don't forget that this is not the last party you're going to throw or host. Right.
And I think life is just worth celebrating. I mean, so I think, you know, you got family around a table. And so we're selling linens and paper goods and all that kind of stuff. So it's an e-commerce thing right now to stay in touch. But you know, we just try and stay in touch and be a part of their life in any way we can. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we will include all of the links on our show notes, but if you want to drop them real quick, Neely, so that any of our listeners not driving a car right now,
yeah,
you can note this.
Our Instagram is Marie_Ami. And we have a website, MarieAmi.com, which has also got a great blog with a lot of great content on it. And that's how you find us.
Awesome.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Neely, for being on the pod with us and talking to everyone out there and giving some really great advice. And for really, you know, it's inspiring to me that, you know, something you said a while back, that, you know, you decided to give this service this way because it was also what felt good to you, and you needed to do what felt good to you. And I think for anyone out there who's a business owner, any really business, even if you're not a wedding professional, like that's something that we probably ignore, most mm-hmm. of us, you know, in our pursuit of making a living, you right. know, and getting more business. But in the end, you still have to be true to yourself and do what feels right to you. And so, so I definitely appreciate that piece. And I that's what I took away with me. So thank you.
Well, I'm so glad. Thank y'all so much for having me. This has been such a pleasure.
Yay.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. Don't hang up. I'm going to outro us. If anybody is following us on Twitter still, you should know, sadly, I never go onto Twitter for the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. So
you've stopped?
Yeah, it's not even part of our it's not been part of our outro or our signature. We were kind of phasing it out slowly.
You know,
I was hoping that no one would notice, but that it was silly for me to hope that, because of course no one would notice, because nobody ever interacted with us on Twitter, because, you know, wedding planning is much more
visual,
Instagram oriented. Yeah. Yes. And podcasts. So they're listening and they're seeing, but tweeting, not so much. So forget about it.
Forget about it.
60 people that are still following on Twitter. I've left you hanging. If you do want to get in touch with us, we are at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast on Instagram. We're still using hashtag plan that wedding.
Always.
And we love seeing your weddings, or your wedding, anything wedding related. Please use the hashtag or send it to us. Email us thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. That's the best way to get in touch with us. We have a Patreon page so that you can support us, and throwing $5 our way a month makes a huge difference in our ability to keep producing this podcast. That is patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Our phone number, you should do the phone number. If you're on iTunes and listening to us on iTunes, please rate us and review. That also
please.
Makes a huge difference. Michelle and I are both working wedding consultants. We're booking into 2020 now. We can go anywhere. So if you need a wedding planner and you're thinking about hiring this person who's been talking to you about weddings for the last year or three, you could do that. And just email us for more information. We also do consulting and can send you information about that. And
our phone number is 415-723-1625. That's my part.
Good job. Well, thank you again. And, you know, you'll hear us next week.
Yeah, you will. You will if you subscribe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Happy planning. Christy, love you. Love your show.
Bye.